the guy starts like, it's time to, and he's like, oh my god, he's seizing. Oh my god, he's seizing. Oh my god, he's seizing.
It's time to.
Knocks out his shit. Oh my god, oh my god. That's really funny because my girlfriend has epilepsy. So that's oh, like, Jesus I'm Christ. Allowed to make that joke. Fair I'm allowed enough. To make that joke.
That's fair. And it's a good thing you did, Benel, because we're recording, brother. I got it just at the end of that. It stays in the main feed now.
I love it. I love it. Anytime that I get to look bad, I get it. I'm a real shit bag. And
I didn't know why you were doing it at first. You know, you were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh. I had no idea why you were doing it, but I made sure to hit record in the middle of that shit. Well, everybody, welcome.
Look, I just want to. Yeah, welcome. The paywall. I'm on board. Fucking in. A little looser back here. A little bit more space to say everything we want to say. We got no limits in here, brother. And you know what? I'm sick of the media trying to silence us by giving us Netflix specials.
Yeah. I'm sick of
it. Bro, can we? Yeah. Okay, so here's the question. Do you get silenced before they cut you the $1 million check or after? When does the silencing begin? When before the $1 million check or after?
Are you alluding to the fact that a lot of comics who have Netflix specials are doing bits about how the media is silencing them? Is that a thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, which is right now, even that joke, even that observation is fucking hack.
Yeah. Because
that observation's hack.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about how much money they make. So any, like, I just like, I want to be like, yo, open your bank account. Open your bank account.
It's called hush money, Benel. It's called hush money.
You can talk about being silenced if on stage behind you is displayed your fucking bank account.
It's called hush money, Benel.
My bank account is $15. I am being silenced. Okay, maybe he has a point. Maybe the motherfucker has a point.
Yeah, well, does that count my offshore accounts though? Can I just show the one account?
I want to look at your tax records, bro. I want to see what your estate, what assets do you own?
What bracket you in, bro? What bracket you in?
But that's always been the case, hasn't it? It's like artists have always faked authenticity by claiming they're a member. They speak for one class when they actually belong to another. That's what artist actually is.
Sure,
it's like you're a parasite. So,
but it's we live. You know, but that's only because when artists become mainstream, they actually level up their class.
Yeah,
they prestige, well, like, if you will.
Art used to be a working class location.
Yeah, because it wasn't respected or valued.
Yeah, it wasn't respected or valued. Like art, like, you know, during the Renaissance, you worked at an art factory.
Yeah,
like those workshops and guilds were art factories. Like someone wanted something, you painted it. You didn't get your name on it. And they paid your boss a bunch of money, and then they gave you money, and then you
consumption of art has become a symbol of status, though. So
yeah, now but it's also
much like everything,
all art has become.
Yeah.
Yeah, all art has become opened to.
That's also true.
Everyone can own art. Everyone can own art,
yeah.
And everyone can create art, and so art now has this weird value to it, where it's like, oh, you're an artist. It's like, do you know what an artist is? Someone who kills time. That's all we do. We provide a distraction to kill time.
I don't know about that. We can do more. We can provoke thoughts. Sometimes even provoke action.
Motherfucker, everything provokes thought. Nothing in the world doesn't provoke thought.
I mean, that's
everyone
fair.
Thinks about everything. Everyone thinks about
thoughts.
Everything all the time.
Provoke new thoughts.
Everything thinks about everything all the time.
I don't think that's true, but that's the artist in you talking.
I believe that every human being has always thought about everything that's ever occurred, ever.
I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of people out there who have the same thoughts on loop.
They may not have the ability to communicate those thoughts, but we all thought it. We've all had that feeling or sensation. And what artists do is communicate those feelings and sensations. But also,
so maybe they make it, they make it tangible, or like,
yeah,
what's the word? Yeah, like something that they can not only be expressed but understood, and such. I mean, also think art can also give you different perspectives on different things.
Yeah, that you may not have had before. I think that's the most important thing art does, because I wouldn't know. Okay, so I don't believe it or not, I'm not trans.
I do believe it.
Yeah.
Oh, let me check. Hold on. Let me check the logs.
Cisgendered male.
Let me check the logs right now.
But
I believe it.
I listened to the Against Me album about being trans, and then I understood being trans.
Mm.
Well, not understood, because I'll never understand being trans. Mm. But I understood what Laura Jane Grace's experience of being a trans woman is.
Right.
And what she was going through as she was making, you know, Transgender Dysmorphia Blues.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've never been a little girl, Benel.
Yeah.
But when I watched the movie Inside Out, my example's less cool, okay?
No, actually, you want to keep going.
No, but look, for real, though.
I've never been a Chinese woman, but I watch Everything Everywhere at Once.
Oh, yeah.
And fuck.
Yeah.
First things first, Michelle Yeoh can absolutely stay parental in that she could get it at any time.
Yeah.
Any place.
The multiverse is how many Michelle Yeohs do you want to fuck?
The answer is all of them, bro.
I feel like the people who didn't like that movie, and I might be wrong, so feel free to email in if you didn't enjoy Everything Everywhere All at Once. But I feel like the people that did enjoy that movie were caught up in the whole multiverse aspect of it, when that's not really, to me at least, even within the top 20 things that's interesting about it.
That movie has like 80 things going for it.
Yeah.
Like it's got fucking,
I mean,
everything.
If you're just sick of multiverse movies, that's fine, but I despite the title of it and its like theoretical gimmick, like the multiverse thing is not even what I think about when I think about that movie.
It's not even the point. It's like, honestly, it's a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Or fucking, it's literally a MacGuffin for nihilism. Like, it's just a way to get to nihilism.
I mean, I will say Everything Everywhere All at Once is my favorite movie about a depressed gay Chinese girl.
Oh man, yeah. Stephanie Hsu. God damn.
I thought she was the best thing in the movie, and she didn't win.
She's the best thing in that movie.
Jamie Lee Curtis won Best Supporting Actress, which is fine or whatever. But I thought Stephanie Hsu was the best part of that movie.
I'm sorry, what did Jamie Lee Curtis had a little, okay, she had something in that movie.
She had some stuff to do, but
yeah.
The movie doesn't work if Stephanie Hsu is not as good as she is, though.
Yeah, and Stephanie Hsu, this lady she played like 4 or 5 different roles in that movie.
And she had to make them all work. Yeah.
And she made them all work.
I mean, what's his name? Who won the Best Supporting Actor? The dad. The dad played like 2 very specific roles.
Yeah.
And I thought he was great, and we're all happy that he won Best Supporting Actor or whatever. I thought she like blew everyone in the movie away, even him and Michelle Yeoh. I thought she was just on another level in that movie. Because she had to convey all this stuff while playing all these roles and also not have it feel like cloying, you know?
Yeah. No, she had to be a threat. She has to be like a menace, which she is. She fucking nails it.
Yeah.
And she also has to have this vulnerability and this world weariness.
Yes.
And this hurt.
Yeah.
And this also this sort of detached passion. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic.
Absolutely murders that film. Absolutely kills
it. And everyone else is great, obviously, and I enjoyed you know, seeing the Marshall Club guys get to fight Michelle Yeoh. That was great. And it's funny and all that stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't understand why certain pieces of art get backlash like they do. But, yeah, I was trying to think of the last movie I watched that really I enjoyed as much as that. It might be Fury Road. It might have been that long ago. The thing is, I don't watch a lot of movies, but I think that's because... Oh, you know, it's The Lighthouse, but no. That's the last one I enjoyed. I don't...
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of movies, but it's because I feel like I know what most movies are going to be before I watch them. And sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. But, I think the last movie I enjoyed that much was Cyrano.
Oh, with,
Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage, yeah.
Absolutely kills that movie. Slays the movie.
Recent, that's 2022, right?
Yeah, but that movie's like, hey, this is a... That's Peter Dinklage throwing his giant dick on the table.
Oh, is he just acting his ass off?
Dude, he's acting, he's singing, he's a badass action hero, and he's rapping.
Okay. You know what? You convinced
me. That's basically going like...
I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah, motherfucker went like, hey, you know how good I am at acting? Here it is. This is all the talent I have.
This man was a quadruple threat the whole time?
This man killed it. Killed it.
Yeah.
Singing, acting, sword fights. There's a one-take sword fight that he does where he beats the shit out of 10 guys.
Yeah. That sounds lit.
Dude.
So...
And we're like, you want to see some talent? There's some talent.
Yeah. There she goes. Tyrion Lannister.
Lulu came in just to tell me that Cyrano is great and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, I'd heard about it, but I didn't hear that it was that good, is the thing. Right, I'm gonna check this movie out. But no, you smarted me up to a fun movie that I got to watch with my sister. So, I talked to Kit when I used to, a running segment when Katie Rose used to be here, would be how she would continually be surprised about how much women's media I'd consumed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying this movie is necessarily... It's not even really women's media. It's just a movie that stars a woman. Because that's how low the bar is in this world. But
you gotta clear it.
Yeah, well... But the what was it called? The Princess?
The Princess kicks ass.
This movie kicks ass, and I feel like no one's talked about it. So let's spread the word.
Yeah.
If you've seen The Raid, it's the reverse The Raid. Except if instead of an Iku Uwais playing a cop, it's the girl from The Kissing Booth who is a medieval princess with a sword and other things. Sometimes she has a sword, sometimes she has other things. And it's really good. And this somebody who's like... very hard on Western action, as I am, this is one of the better... not just choreographed, but also performed. I was very impressed. I think her name is Joey King. The actress from The Kissing Booth. With her physicality throughout the movie, she pulled it off really well. So
and she plays the small person against big people role very well. There's not for a second that you go like, okay, she's about to fight this mountain of a man. How's this gonna go down? And like, it goes down logically. In a way to make sense.
Yeah.
Never overpowers dudes.
Right. That's what I love, because sometimes, like, these types of movies, and they do the booking where it's like, well, we're going to show everyone how powerful our female lead is. She's going to kick everyone's ass and not have a scratch on her, and that shit's annoying. Because it's like, that's...
No, they beat the fuck...
Yeah, she takes hits. She sells. She gets thrown downstairs and shit, and she, like... Yeah, And all, yeah, the psychology of the fighting is really good, because she doesn't overpower people. She uses speed and technique and craftiness in the environment, and it's good stuff. I mean, it's all the shit that Jackie Chan... I mean, It's all the shit that, like, if you've really studied Jackie Chan, the psychology that he employs, the stunt team that put the stuff together clearly knew what they were doing. So, good stuff. Thumbs up for the princess. Serrano has a cool sword fight. The princess has some cool sword fighting. Our sword fight's making a comeback, Benel. Your thoughts?
The question is, like, here's the thing, like, outside of Marvel movies, where do we get the action? Like, where do we get our action fix? I mean, John like, Wick. You see things on... John Wick. Yeah.
Yeah.
John Wick.
That's basically the staple.
Which, like, this... Yeah, right now, in big budget, in, like, movies you go to the theater to see, but I think a lot of action movies in Netflix get, do some really cool stuff with action. They just never... They're Netflix films, so no one really watches them. It's, like, I watched Day Shift. Have you watched Day Shift?
Is that the one where they hunt vampires?
Yeah.
Is that Jamie Foxx is in that? Am I...
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, so I did weirdly stumble on this. Yeah.
That, I mean, that is a... That's, of course, directed by a fight choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
And that nigga just went like, hey... I'm going to get all the niggas that I know in the fight game and just give them and just make a movie.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. There's the contortionist vampire shows up like 7 times.
Well, that's cool.
And she's like, man, is that chick fucking a badass? She's like bent in half fighting niggas with knives on her feet.
Yeah, I didn't see that whole movie. I think I jumped around a little bit because I didn't know what it was. I'm going to have to go back and watch the whole thing.
I mean, it's not good. I would say, like, there's...
It's not good, but it's fun.
It's fun.
It's like Into the Badlands.
It's fun. Yeah, once you get into, like, they do a lot of CQC. They do a lot of, like, close quarter stuff with vampires. I mean, the movie does not hang together at all. Like,
sure, okay.
Vampires kind of... Vampires don't make any sense, like the Bureau.
So it's a bad movie with cool things in it.
Yeah. The movie doesn't make any sense. Snoop Dogg is in it as a vampire hunter.
Great.
I don't know what the movie's trying to say about, like, working class people. Mm. Like, it's trying to say something.
Mm.
But it's just, also all the vampires, like, live in Florida. They live in California, so all the vampires live in shitty houses, even the rich ones. Like, this makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Because there's no basement, so, like, vampire in California is an awful...
That's a bad place to be.
Yeah, it's a bad place to be. But the fight, like, there's a fight sequence here. You would fucking love it, because it's two dudes taking out a house full of vampires. And the way they tag team, like, I haven't seen tag team fight choreography like this in a while.
Mm.
It's badass.
Yeah. That says, like, the shootouts, like, in Hard Boiled or...
Yeah.
Was it Hard Boiled that had the tag team shootout? Or was it the other one? I can't remember.
Yeah. They do a lot of, like, knife gun, like, you know, John Wick shit, but with two people, and it's kind of like... Yeah, that's kind of cool.
John Wick really made gunfighting, like, in... Like... John Wick, like, made, like, hitting people with guns before you shoot them, like, very in the...
Shoulder tackling, pulling a gun, shooting a guy with your shoulder tackle gun.
Yeah, and, like, putting guys in an arm bar and then shooting them in the head, like, shit like
putting guys in an arm bar, shoulder tackle, shooting a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
Running out of ammunition, throwing the gun, shooting another guy with another gun.
You know, talk about people who've really come around. Because I remember when Keanu was, like, a fun punchline for, like, a bad actor. You know?
Yeah.
He was kind of thrown in there with, like, Nick Cage and other people who'd made a bunch of bad movies. But he's, like, really come... I love that he's come all the way back around. Since The Matrix is still one of my all-time favorite movies. This John Wick series. I mean, he's riding this thing till the wheels come off. And they're going to come off, ladies and gents. This man's in his 50s. He's not going to be able to keep doing
this. Yeah, they can't. I mean, he looks great.
He does.
And he, like, looks great.
I'm almost sad that the John Wick series didn't start earlier when he would have more years to put on it, you know? But
I think the weariness, the world weariness, actually kind of helps the John Wick, because it's John Wick is a man that is tired.
Yeah. Oh, this has Scott Adkins. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Now. Okay. Scott Adkins is in Day Shift. That makes a lot more sense.
Scott Adkins is like fucking great. In these roles specifically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he fucking makes those shits work.
Have you seen the Undisputed movies?
You know, I haven't.
Oh, we got it sometime. They're not good, but they're great.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
So, like, the original Undisputed has stars Wesley Snipes, and the heel is, what's his name? Who plays Marcellus Wallace? What's that actor's name? Vin Rames? Right?
Vin Rames.
So yeah. Vin Rames plays the bad guy, right? And I never saw the original one, actually. But Undisputed 2, Michael Jai White comes in playing the guy that Vin Rames played in the first one. So the heel becomes...
That's badass.
So the heel is now the new protagonist, right? But it's played by Michael Jai White now. And he's awesome. And Scott Adkins, who nobody knew he was back then, plays the villain. And he's like he's young, you know, in his prime. He's just a complete physical savage, right? And him and Michael Jai White kill it. And then Scott Adkins was such a savage that in Undisputed 3... Scott Adkins is now the protagonist.
That's bad. I love that's fucking great.
And it's like he's the guy who's got to fight from underneath, and he fights this really good Colombian fighter named Marco Zaror, who's kind of like an indie guy who makes his own films in Colombia. He makes like his own indie martial arts films in Colombia. But so then there's an Undisputed 4 where Scott Adkins is still the protagonist in. So. That one's kind of... Undisputed 2 and 3 are the real sweet spots of the series.
Mm-hmm. That's a... honestly, that's kind of fucking badass. It's like, the main character of the movie faces a badass, and then we follow the badass as he's facing another bigger badass.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool progression. Also, every time I see Michael Jai White, I'm like, how is he not the most famous human being on the earth?
Honestly, yeah, for real.
How is this guy not like the Rock part 2?
Because he's super. I think it's because he makes bad film choices. I think he made Spawn.
Yeah.
And I just think that he got that B movie actor stink on him and he can't get it. But a lot of the times, B movie actors are just good fucking actors that make. They just don't get the opportunities to make good movies.
I also think the West, I blame the West for not having more roles that could suit him. Like, not just martial arts films, but just, like, any role where, like, you have just, like, a cool black dude who kicks ass. And you, like, how is that not money? Like, how is that not just all the money? This, like, handsome, charming black dude who also actually kicks ass.
You mean this motherfucker wasn't? You mean what, wasn't in the Expendables?
I don't think he was.
That's ridiculous.
I don't think he was.
Well, what the fuck?
The thing about the Expendables, though, I don't know if that would have helped him because, like, Sly kind of eats. Like, he would have been maybe his screen time might have been gobbled up by all the ensemble with Sly and Statham and everybody.
Yeah, fucking right. Yeah, fair enough. Jai White should be Black Jason Statham, really.
He should be The Rock.
Like, bro. You know what you get. I mean, yeah, fair enough. Yes, bro.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think also it's like, yeah, people don't respect Kung Fu movies. I think that's part of it. But, like, you know, he doesn't have to just be in Kung Fu movies. Like, he could be in, like, you know, you could do so many things with him. But, yeah.
That's true. I mean, yeah. It's just, it's not one bad movie, it's just, like, you get a certain stink and a certain level of quality that's not your fault as an actor. It's a lot of times the fault of the director, fault of the editor, fault of the writer.
Yeah.
Then that will affect you. That will affect what roles you get.
I mean, it's true.
Which is, like, insane. Which is, like, crazy.
I mean, man, every time I see a Tony Jaa movie, like, pretty much everything Tony Jaa's ever done without Panarita Krai, who was, like, his director, has been bad.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like, you need a director. You need someone to, you need, like, a stamp of approval.
Yeah, some guys only work with certain other people, you know.
Yeah, and that's why the directors, they keep their guys, like, you know, James White keeps his guys.
Yeah.
Like, and you certainly see it in action movies. Man, action movie directors keep their guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just swap in whoever the leads are, so.
This is why there's never going to be a Raid 3, because no one can replace what's-his-name. The guy that did the first two Raids. And he said he's never doing another Raid. And I know it's not, even if another director wanted to do another Raid and Iko Uwais was in and the rest of the stunt team and everyone else was in, I know it wouldn't be as good.
No, it wouldn't be good. It'll be Raid in name only.
Yeah, it would be the third.
It'll be Raid in. Yeah.
Well, with that, Benel, should we dive into a little bit of the Yugi and the O's?
Yeah, let's do that.
Play the theme song, me.
God damn. Almost 20 years at this point?
Mm-hmm. Also, did you ever watch this far into Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Word.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very exciting time. Time to be alive. Well, here we are, everybody. Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode 46, Dungeon Dice Monsters, Part 1. So we start off, Yugi's grandpa is sweeping up in front of the shop, and he's really upset for some reason. Yugi is, leaves, he's on his way to somewhere, and Taya comes over, and they see how upset Grandpa Moto is, Yugi's like, I don't know, he's really upset about something, and then Grandpa butts into their conversation, he's like, yeah, I got trapped in a pyramid once. I was assaulted by wolves and bats. But I'll be goddamned if there's another card shop in my neighborhood. He's real triggered by another card shop.
I mean, to be fair, he does sound like a board game store owner. That does make a lot of sense.
He does. Also, there's no one ever in his game shop. So, like, I don't know.
Which is also, you know, very reminiscent of a board game shop. So.
Yeah.
This is very, very true to life right now.
Yeah. Because Yugi's a great, grandson, he decides to sneak over to the other game shop and check it out, like a hero
does.
To
be fair, Yugi is a board game player, so that fucking makes perfect sense.
It does make sense. He's not doing anything wrong. I just think it's funny that, like, Grandpa
was like, oh shit, like, new game shop? Cool. Maybe this one won't smell like ass.
Maybe it won't smell like my grandpa's balls.
Yeah, fucking right.
Because he's itching them behind the counter with a with a wrench. Anyway, so Taya goes with him, check out, quote-unquote, the competition. Outside the building, because it's a new card shop, people are giving out publicity posters about the new game in town, Dungeon Dice Monsters. And while they're checking, yeah,
you can tell this is unreal because it's a board game company doing promotion for the work. So that's how you can tell it's fictional.
That is true. Fuck you, Wizards of the Coast. By the way, Did you see this? They fucking, like, assaulted a YouTuber, bro?
Sending the Pinkertons because they fucked up? Yeah.
They sent the Pinkertons after
Magic the Gathering
YouTuber. What the fuck?
How is the fucking Magic the Gathering guys... How are you beating Games Workshop for being pieces of shit to your clients?
First, it was the open game license in January. Then the Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing this with Magic the Gathering for years, and Magic the Gathering players are, cucks, so they just take it. But
they have, what do you call it?
Stockholm. Yeah,
Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah. The Stockholm.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no. I know the Magic the Gathering players just want to play Magic the Gathering, but they have to realize the Magic the Gathering isn't that good to be treated like this. It's not that good. Like, the game's not that great that this is how the company treats you.
Can I tell you, as somebody who, like, the only like, games I'll play are, like, Pauper now, because it's just all commons, and it doesn't, like, rotate cards out, and it's, like, because they're commons, you can make decks for cheap, and it's fun, and the meta isn't stuck behind one deck forever, or, like, two broken-ass cards. So what I'm saying is it's a fun way to play Magic. But even then, I will say... enjoying watching, like, Pauper if Magic feels dumb now. The idea of the idea that you can lose a game because you didn't draw lands
Enough resources.
It just feels so stupid now.
It's so outdated.
It feels very 90s.
Nobody's making games like this anymore.
No, it's no definitely the worst
thing. I know nobody but actual nerds play Flesh and Blood, but... You know, they kind of figured it out where it's like...
Shout out to Patak and Brynn.
They didn't even figure it out. There's plenty of other games. Fucking the Versus system had the resource system, which I'm buying Versus. I'm buying the old 2004 Versus system.
Yeah, bro.
They have the box for 40 bucks. I'm buying them. It's like, this is my childhood, bro.
Yeah.
I'm buying them. I'm making a Marvel Knights deck, finally.
Yep. And Benno, we didn't end up talking about it this week, but you had designed your RPG, right?
Oh yeah, I absolutely designed my. This is my second RPG that I designed. It's called Found Footage. It's I'm telling you, hot off the presses. I'm talking about, like, this thing hasn't been playtested. Oh, it could be a fucking train wreck.
I can't wait to playtest it with you, brother. It's going to be great.
I appreciate it.
I'm also still in the process of designing some stuff, some tabletop content. So, we'll be talking about that stuff here behind the paywall on Game Time.
Absolutely.
When we recap the ridiculous game that is Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Monsters. And we'll talk about the real games that we play and, like... Dungeon Dice Monsters. Also, the other thing about Wizards of the Coast, fucking the creative summit that they had was 2 months ago, where they brought in, like, all the content creators, like, look at their shit, and it was all, that was a fucking train wreck. They're just taking L's this year. Fuck that place.
So Creative Summit is what? Like, they brought a bunch of content creators to come and be like, look at my dick?
To, like, look at, like, look at or, like, to preview some of their shit, I think?
Once you have the dude from Toriel Academy being like, I don't play this game anymore.
Yeah.
The motherfucker's doing Channel Fireball. Channel Fireball switched over. Like, it's a wrap. The only people now are bought and paid for. Like, that's the only people they have now. The only people they have now are bought and paid for. Like, which is fine. But, like, Jesus fuck, man. I can't, like, I literally can't not find, like, I don't have respect for them anymore.
Yeah, so basically, all the D&D content creators, influencers, whatever you're going to call them, third-party folks, were brought to a creator summit. But instead of, like, being like, you know, hey, it's like they were talked at, basically, not like talked to. And when that started to happen, they got annoyed and basically like their questions weren't answered and stuff. And so they basically, and then when they tried to ask questions, they got pushed back. Then the content creators basically just started like ripping on them, basically. They just turned into like other Rose the Wizards of the Coast, which is pretty funny.
Like, why would you do this? You know, okay, you know the only person, like, and I want to go, once again, Games Workshop. Do you know the only people that get Games Workshop products? It's not the people, it's not the customers, God knows. Content creators.
Yeah.
Holy shit, games get, like, if you're a content creator, trust me, you're getting Games Workshop, you're getting Games Workshop shit.
Yeah.
That shit's happening. That is absolutely happening. But if, like, they know that they have to feed that market because those are the people that are going to do your press for you.
Right.
Bringing these motherfuckers along to talk at them, I'll be honest, is really fucking stupid.
Yeah. back to Yu-Gi-Oh! The store owner of the new store. Did we get a name for this fucking place? It's just a new store.
No.
Whatever.
New game store. But that's also very accurate. Most game stores don't have names.
They don't even know how to promote themselves. They just. That's funny. Anyway, we're introduced to our new character, Duke Devlin. Man. And you know he's a bad guy because he's introduced standing cross-armed up against the wall in darkness, talking to some dweeb. I don't know.
We'll never see him again either.
What's weird about this person is they sound like Pegasus for a second. Because he calls him Devlin Boy or something.
Devlin Boy.
Yeah, he does like the Dookie Boy.
Devlin Boy.
And that's like one line he delivers like that. And then he's just a guy. And then Duke is like, I didn't pay you to talk. I paid you to be in charge of my card shop or whatever. I don't know what that
Dale.
Means. I don't know who this guy is or what his role is in the card shop. He might die off screen. I don't remember him.
He's literally the store manager. That's what his job is.
Okay. So I don't know why Duke is telling it. I guess because he can't just look in a mirror because that's too cliche. Or talk to himself.
That'd be weird.
So he's just talking to his store manager about his evil plans. So he wants to get revenge against Yugi, who he says cheated to defeat Pegasus. And I don't know why he thinks this. And it's,
I mean, because
ironic as fuck.
At a competitive level, most people cheat.
Is that true, Benel?
I mean, it is a Magic Gathering. Going back to it. There you go.
Wow, goddamn. But do they shower, Benel?
No, absolutely not.
Mm. Well, they'll learn. So Duke Devlin discusses. He says Yugi's a cheater. He just decides that, which is ironic because Pegasus is an actual cheater. I mean, Yugi cheats a little bit by being two people in one body, but that's not as.
What? Show me in the rules.
That's like kind of cheating, I think.
Show me in the rules where you can't be two people in one body.
I guess not technically in the rules, but what's definitely in the rules is you're not supposed to be able to just see all the cards that your opponent's going to play like Pegasus did. So he's definitely a cheater. So, or read people's minds. That's also cheating, I think. So he just says that Yugi's a cheater. I guess he just decided that he's going to expose him by beating him and claiming the title of King of Games. So the kids go to school and Duke Devlin's there and he's showing off to a bunch of girls by doing cup and dice tricks, which, like, you know, I get this is like a dumb anime or whatever, but like, what? I guess they're high school girls, they're easy to impress, I don't know. He's just like doing like magic, like up close magic with dice. And like,
I mean, yeah, I assume they're middle schoolers. That would fucking work on them,
I guess. It's one of those things I think we're supposed to think that it's only working because he's handsome. Like, he could do anything, and they would be Niagara Falls and in their underpants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, he's doing cup and dice tricks, and this infuriates Joey Wheeler. Joey Wheeler is fucking furious. He's like, how dare this handsome guy show off in front of girls? I'll show him. And then Duke tricks him by... And I bet you can say all 50 states in less than 30 seconds. That's basically what he does. It's a dumb trick he does on Joey. He tricks him, and then Joey's mad. So Joey challenges him to a dual monsters game. And Duke, who at this point is like playing, he's like pretending he's like a himbo, but he's not. He's like a conniving handsome guy. He's like, oh, I don't even have a deck. Oh no. So it's like, we gotta crack some packs, Joey. We're gonna do a draft. Which, that sounds fun, right?
Yu-Gi-Oh is a constructive player, and he's like, no, fuck that shit. No.
Isn't Yu-Gi-Oh only for constructed play? Are there drafts? Yeah, are there drafts for Yu-Gi-Oh?
I'm sure there's a draft Yu-Gi-Oh, but I'm sure it's awful to fucking play.
But in, like, real Yu-Gi-Oh, you have to sacrifice monsters to summon monsters.
Yeah, but, like, I'm sure Yu-Gi-Oh draft is fucking...
Sounds awful. Like a nightmare. Okay. Well, regardless, they make a bet. If Duke Devlin wins, Joey has to be a slave for a week. Which, this is like, they're in middle school, right? This is like something a seven-year-old says to his friend. Yeah, like, you get to be my slave. And then if Joey wins, Duke has to close the shop down. Which, I don't know why Joey...
I will correct you. It's a white middle school, because black middle school will never do this.
That's a fair point. Well, but they're not white, they're Japanese.
I'm just Joey saying. Wheeler and Duke Devlin are not Japanese names.
Well, those aren't their real names. Are they? Is Joey Wheeler actually from Brooklyn? Let me click. Hold on. What's his real name? His name is Katsuya Jonoichi in Japanese. Okay. That makes sense. So, Joey Wheeler agrees to be a slave for a week, but all he gets if he beats Duke, is Duke has to close his shop down, which is weird, because he wasn't the one who was mad about the shop. That was Grandpa, and he didn't even see that Grandpa was mad about it, so I don't know why he's invested in that. Also, that's like...
That's extreme.
Like Duke closing the shop down, I don't think... That's pretty serious. Like, how much money did he have to spend to open it? Like, you're literally like taking down someone's business. Yeah.
Several thousand dollars. Hey, how about you, if I win, you close your entire business, and you never start, and you go into debt, and you have to fire your employees.
And you start sucking dick for crack on the streets.
Yeah. We do that for a card game.
You're literally going to put Duke into poverty over a card game. Which makes the slave for a week thing seem... well, still bad, actually. Never mind.
It's also still bad.
So, Yugi, Taya, and Tristan are like, hey, Joey, maybe you should not do this. And Joey's like, nah, I'll be fine. And so the story here is that Joey's really cocky because he was the semi-finalist in the Duelist Kingdom arc. Well, he was the finalist, actually. He lost to Yugi in the finals, but... And so he's really feeling himself, you know? To the point where, like, Duke Devlin went up to Yugi and was like, I know about you, but Joey was like, what have you heard about me? And, you know, his ego is bursting. So after school, they go to Duke Devlin's game shop, where the arena, he's got a fucking big ass arena. On the elevator ride, they crack some packs, and Joey's feeling really good about his packs. He's like, I'm gonna trap this Duke guy with these new cards. Duke then reveals that he's gonna broadcast the duel on television, and that the girls from the school are now officially his cheerleaders. They're dressed in cheerleader outfits, they have pom-poms, and they have cheers that they apparently practiced and worked on before this. So, but I'm sure Joey's gonna be fine. By the way, Joey also, despite him saying that he's mad that Duke is trying to, you know, trying to look cool to impress girls, he also wants to impress the girls. So that's the, you know,
yeah,
heroic flaw of Joey Wheeler. Yeah,
he's trying. Well, the heroic flaw of Joey Wheeler is he wants women. Yeah, as all men from Brooklyn want women.
You can say that again, but no. Yeah, his ego's running amok, his lust is running amok, and he's being blinded by them both. So the duel begins. Joey starts whooping that ass early because he cheats and he summons Mad Sword Beast for free. There's no way this monster would be free. It has like 2,700 attack.
It's a 5-level monster. There's no way.
There's no way that could be free. But because this isn't the actual game, you can just normal summon a fucking Blue Eyes. So,
yeah, you're right.
Mad Sword Beast shows up, and he also gets like more power every time he destroys the monster. So first he kills one of Devin's monsters, gets stronger. Then Devin plays a monster defense mode, but Joey plays another monster that attacks it. And even though it's in defense mode, the let's see here, it's the oh I see sorry it's the Sword Hunter that's the 2,500 attack. Mad Sword Beast is the one that destroys the Dark Bat. But even though Dark Bat was in defense mode, Mad Sword Beast still does damage to your life points. So Joey's up by a lot now. It's like 2,000 to 500.
Okay, first of all, both these cards are broken. Like, OP to the max.
Yeah. Pretty good plays from Joey so far. But then Devlin activates a trap card, Mizuzuri, and that destroys Joey's Sword Hunter. So his really strong card is off the field now. So Duke plays, he's normal summoned Spike Bots, which doesn't look like too much, but it does destroy the Mad Sword Beast. So he makes a little bit of a comeback there. So Joey isn't really thinking far ahead in his moves. He's really going one at a time here. He's not setting things up, not playing trap cards or anything.
I mean, you got to fucking play trap cards. I mean, the actual game you play, the game is over in one turn because the game has infinity loops and there's like no point in playing it.
Yeah, the actual it's nonsense. You could just do Exodia turn one or whatever. So Joey's playing a red green deck basically for the Magic players. He just keeps top decking beat down monsters and playing them. So next up is Goblin Attack Force, and he just plays that shit and destroys Devlin's monster, and Devlin goes all the way down to 50 life points. So Joey's just straight ahead, no looking back. As Yugi notices that Duke is completely calm, and he says, either he's up to something, or he's just got ice in his veins. Like Scorpio Sky. Ice water falling through his veins. This is my first time trying to recap. Well, I think I did one recap of Yu-Gi-Oh! Before. But I forget how hard it is to recap duels. So if I've lost you here at any point, Benel, please let me know.
No, I've been following along because it's not a long duel. There's not a lot of moves here.
No. Especially Joey's is really straight ahead. So Duke plays Gradius, which is not stronger than the monster that Joey has. The Goblin Attack Force, after they attack, they move into defensive mode. That's their like drawback. So Devlin plays Gradius. He's like, whatever. And then Duke activates Limiter Removal, which in fact is not the card that Saitama used to get as strong as he did. It is instead, it doubles the attack of Gradius, Which, this doesn't explain why Gradius is good. Because couldn't you play that at anything?
Yeah, it's a normal card.
Duke says it's one of the best cards in my deck, Gradius. It's just a fucking normal-looking card. And then he plays
the best card. I think it's the best card in the deck because it's going to win with it. So any card that makes me win the game is the best card in my deck.
Unless limit removal says can only be attached to Gradius or something. I don't understand why Gradius is good. So limit removal doubles Gradius' attack. Again, that would be good on any card, not just Gradius. So sure. And then also, he activates Fairy Meteor Crush. So what this does, it allows you to attack the life points directly, much like the way Joey's Mad Sword Beast did earlier. So the Gradius with now 2400 attack just goes right over the goblins in defense mode and attacks Joey's life points directly. Duke Devlin was at 50, but Joey is instantly brought to zero. And he loses the duel. Joey gets out of the arena. He's very defeated and dejected. And he's like, well, you did your best. And it's like, bro, he's about to be a slave. Do you understand the fucking context here? And Duke, one of Duke's cheerleaders brings Joey a dog suit. Duke tells him to put it on. And he starts flicking dice at Joey whenever he speaks without being, spoken to by Duke, which is pretty fucked up. And Joey is decided that he's going to, live up to his side of the bet. He puts on the dog suit, gets on all fours. And when Duke tells him to bark, he starts barking. And this is pretty fucked up. I don't know why. This is, I thought this was a show for children, but this is pretty weird. So, Yugi's seen enough of this and decides to become an adult and activates the Millennium Puzzle. And now Yami Yugi tells Duke to stop being a fucking weirdo. And he challenges him to a duel, saying when he wins, Joey is released. And he's a free man. And Duke agrees. And he says, Yugi, I'm going to expose the fact that you cheated to defeat Pegasus. And I'm going to do that by playing you in a game that I created. Oh, then he says, also, if he wins, Yugi will swear that he'll never play Duel Monsters again. And he will give the title King of Games to Duke. Everybody tells Yugi not to do this. But Yami Yugi says the friends are worth more than his title or any game in the world. And so he's going to battle Joey. Oh, sorry, he's going to battle Duke for Joey's sake. And that's where we end the episode.
Okay, so one of the things I was, like, watching the episode, I don't remember them talking that fast. But fuck. I was like, Gilmore Girls episode.
Yeah, bro. It's like watching a Telemundo where you're not fluent. It sounds like everybody's talking really fast. But, yeah. If you're my mother, it's like when I used to walking her watching Caso Cerrado, which means case closed.
Yeah,
in Spanish.
Which is my mom's favorite show.
Does your mom also watch Caso Cerrado?
Yeah, of course.
It's Judge Judy for Latinos.
But they put it on prime time, and people fucking love it.
They do. Anyway,
it's Judge Judy, but Judge Judy sings her own theme song.
Which Caso Cerrado. Oh, yeah.
Fucking dope.
But the episode goes pretty quickly. I mean, it takes me longer to describe the duel than for the duel to happen.
It flies, flies by.
Yeah. So
I have a feeling that the because I feel like when it was localized for Americans, they were like, American kids are stupid and they don't pay attention to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Speak fast. So they sped up the dialogue and animation. That's why everything is so fucking herky jerky.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'll have to ask, you didn't accidentally watch this 1.25 speed, did you?
Yeah.
Because I used to watch the GT episodes at 1.25 speed. Just to get through them faster.
No, I watched these at normal speed.
Okay.
I watched these at normal speed, and these things were booking it.
Speed of the Puma. Yeah, it's, it goes by quick. Honestly, that's one thing I enjoy about watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like, it's like, it's very digestible. Yeah, I don't know how many, stars, how many Dragon Balls would you give, episode 46 of Yu-Gi-Oh!
This is a 3, because nothing happens. Like, they did a perfunctory game.
Yeah.
To put Joey in this predicament.
And we didn't even get to see Joey use his cards.
No. Yeah. They did a draft, and look, I'm not a draft guy. I've done a few. But it's a different style of play. And yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah.
It can be fun, but it's not. But, like, it depends on who's on your table.
Yeah. I enjoy doing drafts in real life, but watching this episode was not, it wasn't compelling.
Oh, because
it was just perfunctory duel.
Yeah, it wasn't compelling. Like, it's like, oh, we gotta get Joey in the pickle so that Yu-Gi-Oh has a reason to give a shit.
Right. I am looking forward to the Dice Monsters game next week, though. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that looks cool. Yeah. Though I do like the idea of, like, King of Games is a title you can lose or win.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome.
Like, it's a big queef. Oh, I want to see if you are truly the King of Games. Do people, like, petition the King of Games for assistance? Like, sir, I need help to get my game published at a reasonable publisher for a good price point. I must petition the King of Games.
Yeah. I think so.
Like, before you make any, before you change the meta for your card game, you have to petition the King of Games.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the King of Games thinks about it then.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you know, I don't know if you know this, but this, Scum Surge is OP broken to the max. We're gonna have to petition the King of Games.
Why get the King of Games on the line then?
Before we can set up a new errata.
Someone contact the King of Games then.
MJ, can you make those updates to the taboo list? We haven't heard from the King of Games yet.
Get the King of Games on the line.
Oi, I'm the King of the Games headsman. Are you out here playing with non-official dice? You know the King of Games would be on the side of the corporation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's bought and sold for. But yeah, bought and paid.
Yeah. Like, Asmodee show up was like, King of Games, we hear you're running for re-election. How would you like to work together? Like, fucking the big companies have, like, lobbyists at the King of Games.
Hey, King of Games, what do you think about, just, like, you know, maybe we should have a creator summit. Bring all the third-party creators.
Only talk at people.
Check out our new content coming up for the season. Who died and made you King of Games? I'm sure somebody will say that at some point. Oh yeah, did I rate this? I'm gonna go three Dragon Balls.
Three
Dragon Balls on this. Yeah, it was just a mid duel, but I'm excited about the dice stuff next week. So. And Duke Devlin, everyone's favorite cast member of Yu-Gi-Oh! Well, without any further ado, Benel, time for this song to play us out.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can. Times, they are a-changing. The line, it is drawn, the curse, it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the time,